Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I was waiting on that applause. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. They did not make it today. They wanted this bill. I'm talking about Donald Trump and the Republicans. Mostly Donald Trump wanted this health care bill, the Obamacare bill that they were trying to get through Congress today. There was a no vote on it. It's been delayed. They delayed it instead of watching it go down in defeat. This is a horrible bill, folks. If you read what was in it, this is totally horrible. It's horrible for America in general. These pricks going around saying it's the best thing that can happen to all of us. It is not. That's a lie. It is a total defeat for Donald Trump. There's no doubt about it. This is a defeat for him if it's delayed, because this is the seventh anniversary of Obamacare being signed into law by Obama, and they couldn't get it done. They didn't have the votes. And Trump telling senators and representatives to call their he's going around telling the constituency of these senators and representatives in Congress to call their congressmen to tell them to vote for the bill. That's crazy. 17%. There was a poll out. 17% of the people of the American public agree with this bill. That tells you a lot. Trump cannot try to persuade people to vote for this bill that those same people are going to be harmed by this bill. Why would anybody vote for this? This is a people's victory. This is not a Congress victory. This is a victory for America, but it's going to be a short-lived one because they may try this thing to vote for this thing in the morning. I'm hearing that they may not have the votes then. So Republicans holding this thing up, because the Democrats, all they can do is talk about it and tell everybody how bad it is, but they don't have the votes to stop it completely. Only thing, they could if they had some wiggle room. But anyway, this is a total defeat for Donald Trump and Paul Ryan, because these people, they really, really, really tried to sell this thing. It didn't work, because let's say if it does pass the Senate, if it does pass the House tomorrow, then it has a strong possibility that it may not pass the Senate. So this bill, this healthcare bill, this piece of garbage that's going to throw people off of healthcare, won't have healthcare, millions of people, 24 millions of people off of health, is going to defund Planned Parenthood. No matter how much we bitch, how much we march, how much we rally, Trump and this guy, Paul Ryan, they're going to do this. They're going to try and do it. But if it fails tomorrow in the House, which we all hope it will, it's dead. This bill is dead in the water. They're not going to bring it up again until they're sure that they have the votes for it. The constituency, the people of America, won today. But they have to do the same thing tomorrow. You know, you have to call. I'm pretty sure a lot of the voters are calling their senators, Republican senators, and saying, hey, we don't want you to kill Obamacare. We want you to make it better. And a lot of these assholes are saying, you know, no, I think it should be killed. I mean, if you're going to kill Obamacare, go against your constituency, then your ass is grass when it comes November 2018 at the midterm elections. And they know this. A lot of these Republicans are afraid to lose their job because their constituency, they're getting in their asses. Just look at these town halls, where some of these town halls are, they're really, really vociferous. And some of their constituency is really getting in their asses about this. The Republicans are scared of 2018. Sorry, they are afraid of 2018. This is why a lot of them are voting against this. It's a cruel, cruel healthcare bill. It's a cruel, cruel replacement. I mean, it's just on all levels. I can go line by line through this thing, but I'm just going to say, folks, and I'm pretty sure you may know what's in this bill. We all do. So I don't have to go line by line with you. All I can say, it's a horrible, horrible bill, healthcare bill, that Trump and Paul Ryan trying to throw on America. You know, I mean, people will not be able to, even hospitals and doctors and scientists saying that this is wrong. They're going to cut all these, throw you off health care, and then take the money and give it to the top 1%. They're going to give it to the rich people, the corporations, for this. They're going to use it to build a wall while people are dying. These people don't care. Trump talked about making America great again. Again, another lie, another con. This is not making America great. This is making America dead, dead, period. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Author Sheila Dietet Spiff is going to be on the show today on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I want to say, be kind to one another out there. It is so easy. And I'm going to say this again, folks. They were rallying downtown in the Loop in this city, Chicago. They may still be rallying, and they're rallying against this healthcare bill. They was rallying against it, saying that they won. They did, but hey, wow, they got to be down there tomorrow, because they're saying that this health care, they're going to vote, try to vote on it tomorrow, because, you know, Trump fails health care, you know, but after the health care fails to get through, I don't think he's going to get this budget through either. It's a monstrosity. This guy is out and doing all of this. He's under FBI investigation for treason. I agree with some people out here who say Trump should not be able to do anything, get anything passed, put anything through the House, seat no one to the Supreme Court until this investigation is complete. But the Republicans, you know, they are in charge and they're giving this guy full reign. In my opinion, I think they are aiding and abetting a felon, a soon to be felon. You know, but this is what they want. He ran on he ran on appealing Obamacare. Yes, he did. You know, but he was saying things like he was going to make it greater than Obamacare. And that was a lie. Sean Spicer, his press secretary, he's out there lying as usual. Kellyanne Conway, she's out there lying. But I'm looking at Huffington Post, and it's clearly saying the closer blows it. What they're saying is Trump is supposed to be a good negotiator. Apparently today, that wasn't about, it didn't come to pass today. The closer blows it. All right, with conservatives unable to find a deal. Okay, the vote has been postponed. With conservatives unable to find a deal and leadership unable to find votes, the House Republicans are reportedly pulling their health care bill from the floor and delaying a vote that has been scheduled for Thursday, which is today, the date of this show. No vote tonight, GOP leadership aide said. Obviously, there might be a vote taking place tomorrow morning. We don't know. It could be up in the air. But for as tonight, the thing is dead because they don't have the votes. They do not have the votes, and they may not get the votes. All right. Conservatives have teetered between strongly opposing the GOP health care bill and looming support. There's no support for it. The House Freedom Caucus has negotiated with the White House on potentially eliminating essential health care benefits and some unknown provisions in the Title I of the Affordable Care Act. That expansion section of the 2010 health care law Republicans are trying to repeal includes provisions requiring coverage for people with pre-existing conditions and allowing young people to remain on their parents' plan until they're 26 years old. It has failed, at least for today. And basically, it's a delay vote. They delayed the vote to keep it from, to keep themselves feet. So they delayed the bill. Because if they would have had a vote on the bill today and it was defeated, that would have been the end of it. Believe me, that would have been the end of it. The people won. The people want to delay this bill is a defeat for it. But it's just delayed, okay? It's just delayed. It's not quite a 100% defeat because they're going to try this again because there was no vote on it. But even pulling the vote, which they characterize, which they honestly and vividly and clearly stated that there was going to be a vote on Thursday. There was no vote. There was no vote because they didn't have the votes for this thing to pass. And hopefully it will not pass tomorrow. I'm hearing that is going to be a morning vote on it before 12, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, this is bad for Donald Trump. This is bad for the Republicans. Their constituency, the people spoke. They said they don't want this. They're calling their congressmen. They're calling their offices and saying, we don't want this Trump care. We don't want this. I'm going to be thrown off my health care. And the thing about it, Trump and Ryan, they are going against what their constituency wants. They're not doing what their constituent, the people who voted their ass in the office, they're not doing what they want. My thinking is, if you're not doing what the people who voted your ass into office want you to do, you're not doing your job. I would like to see Paul Ryan voted out of Congress 2018 because he is so adamant of not doing what his voters want him to do. I was going to say constituency, but I get caught up in my throat. And it's just a defeat. It's not a defeat. They don't want you to think that it's a defeat, but I think it's a defeat. So we defeated it on Thursday. We have to defeat it again on Friday. I think if they try to delay the vote again tomorrow, then it's a straight up defeat. There's no way the Republicans are going to try to spin this. It's a defeat. It's going down to nothing. And I think his upcoming budget is also going to be a defeat. It's a disaster. Trump is destroying America as I broadcast today. It's just pathetic. It's pathetic that we have a president and administration who they're under several investigations for colluding with Russia, lying, and yet he gets to pass legislation. That's not fair. Now, if this was a Democrat, that he would have already, he or she, doing things, what Donald Trump is doing now, would have been impeached. The reason why Donald Trump is not impeached and the Republicans are aiding and abetting all of his nonsense, the lot of them should be locked up. All of them Republicans who are aiding and abetting Donald Trump, they should be locked up right along with him. You know, they should be locked up in a cell right beside him. Once this investigation is done, if they do it right. If they do it right. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show, and I am pissed off that I feel kind of good because this bill did not pass. They had to delay it. If they would have voted on it and it was defeated, then it's still bad for Donald Trump, regardless. But he has another chance tomorrow, you know. And let's say if the bill, this health care bill, awful, disgusting health care bill passes tomorrow, then it's going to have a uphill climb in the Senate. Remember, it has to pass both houses. And then after it passed both houses, it has to be signed by the president. The president signs it into law. But it can't even get past the House. So therefore, if it doesn't get past the House, it doesn't go to the Senate, the president doesn't sign it, and it does not become law, which is a good thing for the American people, because this bill has a 17% approval. This health care bill, this Obamacare repeal, Trump care, Ryan care, whatever you want to call it, it has a 17% approval rating. With a rating like that, there is no way that this bill is going to pass unless the Republicans do some really arm twisting, arm breaking, and having the representatives in Congress go against the wishes of the people who put their asses in office. That is always possible. That is more possible than possible. It has happened before. Because like I've said before, the Republicans in Congress, they care more about the party that they're in than they do the people who voted their butts into office. And that's a shame. And it's also a shame that we have a government that constantly lies to us every day. They double down on lies. If you ask one of them about lying, they will lie some more, you know, and act as if we're crazy for trying to find out the truth, or wanting to know the truth, or wanting to know the facts of what they're saying. We are in some trying times here, folks, and we got to rally. We got to make our voices known. We got to be out here. We got to let the Republicans in office know that we're not going to take it. We got to let this criminal, this illegitimate president, this buffoon, Donald Trump, we got to let him know that he's not king of America, that he's not emperor of America. He's just a president who can be impeached. And a lot of people are asking, where the hell is Mike Pence? The vice president. Where is Mike Pence, the vice president of the United States? He is very quiet on this. I haven't heard anything. Usually he's got his face out there. By him being absent from all of this tells me that something is there when it comes to Russia. Something is there when it comes to crimes and misdeeds in the White House, because he's distancing himself from all of that. So there is really, really something to be found in this administration, this Trump administration. There is really something to be found. I think they're going to find something. This investigation is going to find something. And this guy's going to be thrown out of office. If the Republicans don't do it, the American people would do it. I mean, Pence is just waiting in the wings to take to take the office of the presidency once Donald Trump is no longer president because of his crimes. Because of his crimes. You know, so, and I agree with a lot of other people that I think Donald Trump should not be allowed to fill a Supreme Court vacancy to pass any kind of legislation, to do anything governmental until the Justice Department has finalized their investigation into him and his surrogates with these Russia ties. And they are there, folks. They are there. I believe if the GLJ, if they do their job thoroughly, there is something there. And if they're level-headed and actually want to get at the truth, we're going to find something. This guy's going to be out of there. But still, again, if Mike Pence is voted in or is next in line to take the presidency after Trump is out of there. Some people say he's a lot worse. But, you know, I don't think Pence is going to be as bad as Donald Trump. I don't think Pence is going to get up every late night and go on Twitter. And I don't think Pence is going to get his news from Fox News and Breitbart. I don't think that's going to happen. He's gonna try and cut and gut, and we're gonna have to just fight Pence, Mike Pence, once he gets in office, like we did Donald Trump. But I don't want to get too ahead of myself, because Donald Trump is still in office, and the Republicans are just aiding and abetting this guy. Everybody is saying, "What is wrong with the Republicans? Can't they see this guy is unfit? Can't they see he's a liar? Can't they see he's trying to ruin the country?" That's what they want. They're aiding and abetting him. You know, they're accomplices in his crimes. And we see that every day. We see that all the time. They are accomplices in his crimes. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I believe it was, what day it was? It was Tuesday of this week. We had a really, really blackout of the show. And I want to apologize to all of those folks who were listening to the show who couldn't tune into the show because of those things. We are slightly back together now, but not quite. We're still doing it. We are still doing it. And we're talking about the delay in the healthcare vote on Capitol Hill. And we are so proud of it. It was a people victory. Okay. I'm going to say the vote was delayed, and I'm going to call it a victory. Some Republicans are not calling it a victory. It is a victory. You didn't get the number of votes you wanted to get. You didn't vote on this. The people stopped you. It is a victory for the people. You wanted that vote today because this is the anniversary of Obamacare. You wanted it. You needed it. And you failed. You failed miserably. And to say this is not a victory would be lying. I want to talk about Chicago now, and it's not good news. Chicago population falls 2 years in a row. Why do you think the population, people are leaving the state, especially Chicago? It's simple. I've talked about this before, but this is this kind of makes me feel good that I was right about what I was saying on the show. I think it was a 6 or 7 months ago, maybe a year or so ago, and Chicago population was falling then. And there's no doubt about it. I live in Chicago, folks. This is where I broadcast the show from. And Chicago population falls 2 years in a row. Why? High taxes, no budget. High taxes, no budget. Politicians wrangling. Of course, crime. So those are the reasons I think that people have fled Chicago in droves. I've said this before. I said Chicago is the third largest state in America. We're quickly becoming the fourth or maybe fifth largest state in America because of we're losing population all the time. But you know what? The politicians, they're not going to say that. You'll never hear Mayor Rahm Emanuel say, oh, people are leaving the state because of my high taxes. You're never going to hear that. People are leaving Chicago because of the bad schools. It's a number of reasons why people are leaving. And I, for the bad schools, I don't blame them. I think Chicago public schools are some of the most awful schools in America. Not because of the children. I think the children are beautiful. The kids just want to learn. It's the politicians. It's the politics of it all that makes the Chicago public schools the worst in the nation. Schools, you got a lot of people who are taking kids out of Chicago public schools and homeschooling them themselves. It's in droves. Now we're hearing that Chicago public schools are going to, because they don't have any money, they're not getting money from the state, and you know they need that cash, they will be closing their doors 2 or 3 weeks earlier for summer vacation to try to save money, to make up for the money they're not getting from the state because we still have no budget. Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, and the legislature, they can't seem to see eye to eye on anything, and everybody else get caught in between their nonsense. But basically, and moreover, it's Bruce Rauner, Governor Bruce Rauner, a Republican who refused to enact a budget for the state of Illinois. As long as he refuses to enact a budget for the state of Illinois, he is not doing his job. And that is sad. He's not doing his job because that's what the state constitution said. Illinois needs a budget every year. But he's the only governor, and we've had plenty of governors in this town. He's the only governor that has failed or refused to enact a budget. This is why a lot of the schools are failing. This is why a lot of people are taking their kids out of school, at least Chicago schools, and they're taking their kids other places and other schools. And I can't blame them. I mean, you know, I can't blame them. I've told my son's teachers that I would be proud to just take him up out of school and just teach him myself. But I do understand that a lot of parents out here, they don't have the necessary education to homeschool their child. So they have to send them out here to these messy ass public schools. And remember, when I say messy ass public schools, I'm not talking about the children. I'm talking about the politics of it all. The children suffer because we got asshole politicians who just don't give a damn. who just don't give a damn. And then they suffer. And then you got college students from all around America who refuse to come and get their education in Chicago, who refuse to come to the universities and the colleges in this city because of the budget and the crime. The crime has really ran people. The crime in this city has really, truly, it might be the number one culprit for running people away from Chicago. It may be the number one culprit. And the police department, they seem as though they don't know what they're doing. They're on cloud nine somewhere. But the crime in the city of Chicago, the high taxes, the fact that there is no budget, we got clowns as politicians, people are fleeing the state in droves. Fleeing the state in droves, and these politicians, they don't want to tell you that because they may think that you're too dumb to know that. Politicians, they're not going to tell you anything, especially when they're thinking about raising prices on everything with their taxes. I've had people say, wait, George, why are you still there? At this point, I'm mulling over my choices. I really am. I'm just as sick of these taxes. I'm just as sick of the crime as anybody else. I'm sick of politicians who will not make crime a priority, make solving crime a priority in this town. You know, I'm sick of there not being a budget. But if I leave Chicago, you know, it's not going to be a big deal. Things still are not going to change. They're not going to change at all. These politicians are just numb to the fact when it comes to children, the elderly, disability, the mentally ill, Meals on Wheels. They are just numb to that. They're going to talk about Navy Pier, Grant Park, the parks, the tourism, but they're not going to talk about the massive crime, how inept the police department is, because they can't seem to stop this bloody carnage that goes on each and every night in the city of Chicago. People up and leave. And I don't blame them. I don't blame them. You don't want your kid in a school that's not working. You don't want your kid in a school where most of the teachers are lusting after your children. Not all teachers. There's some great teachers, but there's some teachers that lust after children, and it's all out there for you to see. We got good teachers. We got bad teachers. We got good police officers. We got bad police officers. We got good doctors. We got bad doctors. That's just the way it is. We got good people. We got bad people. That's just the way it is. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. But you can say that for any city, any town, any it's just the way it is. You know, so like I said before, we got Sheila Dite Spiff on the George Wilder Jr. Show. She is late, so I'm going to assume that we will not have her. You know what? The show always has to go on. It just have to go on because, you know, regardless of whatever, it's my show. And it has to go on. Here we go. Nobody knows.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
St. Patrick's Day, is it? All right. Thank you very much. Did you already drink yourself sick? So unnecessary now that we have a president who makes you want to puke all the time. Well, the White House celebrated St. Patrick's Day by slashing green energy and everything else that's good in the budget. Did you see the budget? Oh, yes. It takes all the, they put out their new budget, the Trump budget. It takes away all the money from scientists and teachers and human rights workers and Meals on Wheels and Muppets. And gives it to the people who really need it, the defense contractors. If only there was a way to get the F-35 to run on coal, it would be a perfect budget. Because coal... Oh, hey, we're going to put the coal miners back to work. That's what... What the fuck is... No, that's what he goes around the country saying every day. We're going to put the coal miners... That's what passes for good news in this administration. You're going back down in that toxic hole. And as they're lowering them in. And then we're going to take away your health care. This week we finally found out what Trump care is. You know, the whole campaign, he was something terrific. Remember, I'm going to replace it with something terrific. There's so many quotes of him saying everyone's going to be covered. Everybody, it's going to cost you a fraction of what the old ones, and better coverage. Wow, that is quite a deal. Everybody, fraction, better coverage. People are going to want to get sick. This plan is so good. You are going to wish you had a tumor just so you could go to the hospital under my plan. Now we see what the plan is. Surprise, 24 million people lose health coverage and the rich get a giant tax cut. This is the new place we're living in America. Meals on Wheels, the new budget director said, not showing any results. You mean other than not killing cripples and veterans and older people? Old people, you know, 3,200 jobs at the EPA are going to be cut under this new budget. Remember during the campaign, Trump was always saying, what do you have to lose? This stuff. Life as we know it. The budget director also said about the new budget that the after-school meals program, gone. You know, I've always said this. You want Republicans to care about kids, you're going to just have to jam them back in the uterus. Climate change research. For years, they said, well, you know, climate change needs more study. Now, zero. They made a point, $0, 0 cents in the research for climate change. The greatest challenge of our time, and they're like, nothing. No, this is like if your car was breaking down and your solution was put black tape over the check engine light. Cutting PBS out. I mean, most people look at Sesame Street and they see a show that educates children. Trump sees a show where a landlord is being forced to rent to black people. and that's just the policy part of our national nightmare that we are living through every week. You know, there's two parts of this policy and then personality. Personality, because hours after our last show, a couple of weeks ago, President Crazy Pants started tweeting about how Obama tapped his phone at Trump Tower based on nothing. Nothing. That's the great thing about having tiny hands. It's easier to pull stuff right out of your ass. You know? And And even though Obama himself has said this is bullshit, the wiretapping, and our former national intelligence director said that, the FBI director said that, Speaker of the House said that, the chairman of the House Senate Intelligence Committee and the Senate from both sides of the aisle said this. Trump addressed all these doubters today. He said, well, I saw someone say it on Fox News. Really, that was it? I saw someone say it on Fox News? What has to happen before what has to happen, Republican patriots, before you act? Does the president have to get naked, roll around on the White House lawn, start eating the grass and going, vroom, vroom, I'm a lawnmower? I'm going to have a heart attack before this thing. And Trump said this today in front of Angela Merkel. Did you see that? She had a look on her face like how I long for the days when I got creepy shoulder rubs from George W. Bush. And then, oh, that was a great meeting with Angela Merkel. He obviously hates her. And, of course, he's so good at hiding this stuff. They were sitting there, and the people are shouting, don't you want to shake hands like every president has ever done in every Photoshop? No. No, you didn't fuck her. No, I'm not going to shake your hand. And then after the meeting, you know, he tweeted, lousy meeting with German Chancellor Barney Rubble. Low energy, unattractive, didn't even want to make me pop a Tic Tac. Don't start groaning. I'll go fucking nuts on you today. You can see I am right on the edge here. Do not fucking push me. We're supposed to be on the same team. Don't be part of the problem. No, this is driving, it's not just me. It's driving us all crazy, right? Please tell me it's not just me. I mean, this is the craziest administration ever. They think the microwave oven is filming them. But during press conferences, they don't seem to realize they're being broadcast on TV. But, and I saw it on Fox News. By the president's own admission, all he does all day is watch cable news, which is nothing but commercials for Zoloft, Paxil, Celexa, Abilify, Don, pick one.
Trump administration and the GOP are already pursuing a slash and burn strategy to push their agenda through, which brings us to the question, where are the Democrats and what's their plan for stopping Trump? For more on this, it's time for a closer look. It can be hard to keep track of the procedural things that Trump's government is actually doing on a daily basis because every day there's some new absurd controversy. Like on Monday, when the New York Times reported an in-depth look at how isolated Trump is in the White House with this particularly eyebrow-raising detail. When Trump is not watching television in his bathrobe, he will sometimes set off to explore the unfamiliar surroundings of his new home. And you do not want to be on a White House tour when that happens. Over here is the painting of Kennedy, there's the bust of Lincoln, and there are the nuts of Trump. Now, there is nothing wrong with a man wearing a bathrobe, but Trump was apparently so upset with the portrayal, he sent White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer out to refute it.
That story was so riddled with inaccuracies and lies that they owe the president an apology.
What was
part of that story was the detail.
You start at the top. I don't think the president owns a bathrobe. Definitely doesn't wear one.
He doesn't own a bathrobe. He doesn't own a bathrobe at all. He just owns suits that fit like a bathrobe. And just in case you thought Bathrobe Gate couldn't get any sillier, the media actually dug up old pictures of Donald Trump wearing a bathrobe.
It's possible the president does not wear a bathrobe now. We checked. He definitely wore them.
Services paid for through the Ukrainian president's political party.
I think it's not all money for him. It's more like for his activity as well, for his campaigning activity, for some technical issues of his activity as a spin doctor. $12.7 million is an incredibly high amount of money. But for Ukraine corrupt politicians, it was not so impressive.
But why would such payments matter to the U.S. investigation of the Russian hacking scandal? Because the former Ukrainian president, Manafort's client, was a Kremlin ally. Suggestion there was a corrupt river of money flowing from the Kremlin as part of a scheme to elect Donald Trump and get a more pro-Russian president in the White House.
Why is it so far-fetched to blame the Russians and say that the motive was to help you?
I mean, it's just absurd. I don't even know what you're talking about. It's crazy.
When reports came out during the Republican convention that the Trump camp pushed the Republican Party and its platform to ease up on criticism of Russia for invading Ukraine, Manafort pushed back.
It absolutely did not come from the Trump campaign. I don't know who everybody is, but I guarantee you.
So nobody from the Trump campaign wanted that change in the platform?
No one. Zero.
Amid these latest developments, Manafort's most recent statement says, in part, I had no role or involvement in the cyber attacks on the DNC. I have never...
Lies. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard. Fighting non-violently. I'm looking at a photograph of Trump in a truck. He's out in a truck, and he looks like a child with a toy. You know, I mean, he looks ridiculous. What can I say? Wow. I guess he was thinking, I guess this was before they decided to delay the vote on his health care bill, which is atrocious. As I said before, folks, they're going to try to redo it tomorrow. And even if it passes tomorrow, it has to pass the Senate. And my understanding that he doesn't even have the votes there to pass this atrocious, to put this, wow, this is a mess. Okay, a room full of men decide the fate of women's health care. Wow. I'm looking at a photograph where they're, and Trump's White House, of course, representatives, nothing but a room full of white men, no women whatsoever, but they're deciding the fate of women's health care, such as Planned Parenthood. No woman, just men. In most of Donald Trump's photo ops, basically, there's nothing but men. Every now and then, he'll add a woman to make it look, you know, a little bit diverse, but basically in Donald Trump's photo ops, there's nothing but men. You don't even see Kellyanne Conway in some of his photo ops. And right here, I'm looking at a room full of men, nothing but men, telling women what to do with their bodies. That's something. And we just have to have this bill to fail again, to be delayed again, if not totally defeated, because this is a monstrosity. The budget is a monstrosity. There's health care to repeal Obamacare is a monstrosity. That's why the Democrats are fighting against it, but they don't have the votes to keep it from passing. The only thing that's going to keep this thing from passing is these GOP, their constituency, calling into their offices and telling them do not peel Obamacare. And they're hearing it, folks. They're hearing it because, you know, it was delayed today. and it may be delayed tomorrow, or it may be voted on. And then if it's voted on and defeated, then that's it for that. Okay? So don't get your ire up, because this bill is still alive. It's still alive. It's just been delayed. It's still alive. But in essence, it's a defeat, because they wanted to get it done today and they did not get it done today. So it's a defeat for today, you know, but it could be a win for Donald Trump tomorrow. If this is a win for Donald Trump, it's a loss for America. Anything that's a win for the Republicans is a loss for America. And that's been the way for years, for many, many years. All right. All right. Republican Senator hails Goldman Sachs as a champion of the little guy. Give me a break. Most of these rich people, these billionaires, millionaires, they've made their money off the little people. That's how they've gotten rich. And now that they've made their money off the little people, they start to kick the little people. And they're enjoying kicking people when they're down. You know, and it's a shame. All right. The GOP healthcare bill is more unpopular than Obamacare ever was. This is why they failed at it today, and they could fail at it tomorrow. It is more. I just told you 17% of the American people do not like this bill that these Republicans and Donald Trump trying to push through Congress. They don't like it, because this healthcare bill is it's hurting Donald Trump's supporters. It's hurting the people who put him in office. He's going against them. And a lot of them are saying that they wish they hadn't voted for this guy. It's too late now. This man had done all kind of garbage, disrespecting the White House. I mean, you know, disrespecting a job. And, you know, as I've said before, I don't think Donald Trump and a lot of the Democrats in Congress say the same thing. Donald Trump should not be able to do anything whatsoever in terms of executive orders, in terms of trying to get legislation passed, in terms of health care, his budget, until that cloud over his head is resolved. And that cloud is a probe, an investigation of him and his surrogates on Russia. Totally there's something there. And I agree, but the Republicans are enabling this guy. They're enabling him. They're accomplices for his crimes. There's no doubt about that. But they're Republicans, they're running everything, and they can do what they want to do. But somebody should go to jail here. I think the FBI, the U.S. Army, the Air Force technical teams and all this kind of thing, I think they should just raid Congress and just arrest a lot of these assholes, because they're aiding and abetting a criminal. They're aiding and abetting someone whom they know in their heart is unfit to be president of the United States. It just pisses me off every time I see these guys come out of the chamber, running up to a microphone and praising Donald Trump, praising this awful, awful healthcare bill, praising the budget. And most of these people, these Republicans praising the budget, their constituency, the voters, are saying no to it. They're saying, but the Republicans are saying yes to it. They don't care what the voters say. They don't care about their constituency. They care about just killing people. That's what they care about. Children, the elderly, killing people, starving people, ruining America in general. And Bill Maher is right. This is the age we're living in. However, it's going to take the people of America to resist this guy, not just resist him, but to throw him out. If the Republicans will not do the right thing and impeach Donald Trump, then it's up to the American people to find a way, a legal way, a lawful way to throw him out of the White House and his surrogates, because they're enabling him also. They're a part of this. Have you noticed, and I'm going to say this again, have you noticed that Mike Pence isn't saying anything? He's nowhere to be found. Usually he's doing photo ops or going traveling from one state to the next. He would be the one to promote this bill. He's not even helping to promote it, because he knows that the people of his state, they don't want it. He doesn't like this bill. This is why he's not going around trying to sell it. He's not going around trying to sell this bill because he doesn't like it. His constituency doesn't like it. He don't like it. And he knows that Trump, and another thing, Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States, he knows that Trump is in deep shit. He knows it. That's why he's distant. He's staying away. I can't even say distant. That's why he's staying away from the fray. He knows Trump is going to be coming down. He knows this. He doesn't agree with this bill that they're trying to get through Congress. He's got a little sense. He's got some sense. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Just about 7 o'clock. Is it 7? Yeah, 7 o'clock p.m. Chicago time. It's still light outside. It's a little bit daylight. We're talking about Donald Trump. Who isn't? Who is it? You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I mean, if you go on these cable television shows, that's all about Donald Trump, because this guy is a mess. And, he will not be in there too long. I don't think so. So we're going to have a vote on this bill tomorrow and see where it goes. All right. I wanted to say this. Bomb threats to you to not to Jewish. OK, I read that wrong. Bomb threats to Jewish communities. Man is caught, 18-year-old man. I don't know what's wrong with these people going around bombing these mosques and messing with the Jewish people. And it's insane, the hate that's going around America. I was hearing about some white guy who was wielding a sword and killed a black person. You might have heard that. Hate is going around America, and it is awful. You know, so even sometimes if you walk outside your own community, you have to be conscious of your surroundings, because you never know, the person walking down towards you could be the person who may do you some harm just because of your color, your nationality, or where you're from. It's just terrible. Hate is alive and well in America, alive and well. And some people say if they go out, they go out armed, either a gun, some sort of gun, or mace or knife or something. People are saying that they do not go out unarmed. And in some cases, you can't blame them, because hate is like, I mean, it's like cancer. It just grows and grows, and it's still growing in America and around the world. And that is so sad. It is so sad. And this show is all about making the world a better place. But, you know, I mean, it's tough, it's hard, but we won't give up, will we? No, we won't give up. All right. In everyone's life, there are pages that are simply must reads. I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I was going around the house and I was congratulating myself and telling people and my girlfriend and my son that I just got a great book review on Goodreads and for one of my short stories. Some people don't call them short stories. They call them novelettes. I call them short stories because they're not quite a book. But it's enough there for you to, you know, get the gist of what I'm trying to say in that particular story. And I got a five. I mean, every time I get a 5-star review on anything that I've written, you know, I just want to just celebrate because it's really hard to get reviews. People are download your book, they buy your book, but they're not going to leave a review. And it's really, I've got some books up on Amazon that I haven't had for maybe 5 or 6 years and still haven't got a review for that particular book. I'm not saying people didn't buy it or people didn't download it. It's just that some people are just not book reviewers. They can't. I've had one lady tell me, I don't know how to review a book. You couldn't just give it 5 stars and just say, I like you. I like it, rather. You know, people are like that. They are download your book. They won't tell you that they downloaded it. And, you know, but they won't give you a review. I don't hold that against people. And I do not pressure people for a review, because if you pressure somebody for a review, they may get pissed off and give you a 1-star review. So you don't pressure people for reviews. Swapping reviews, I guess it's okay if the person that you're swapping a review with is a professional reviewer. A lot of reviews are done by reader. They call them reader reviews, just simple, ordinary people reviewing a book. You know, it's not New York Times or USA Today review. It's just an individual review of a person who may have downloaded your book and read it and want to give a review. But I do think to get a review for a book that you've written, it has to be a good book. It has to be really, really good book to make that reader want to go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you got the book posted and give it a positive review. It has to be something good. Nobody's going to review a book if it's bad. Nobody's going to review a book if they just are not reviewers. So it took me a long time to learn that, because I used to think if you've written a book, automatically you're going to get 1,000 reviews. No way. You'd be lucky if you get one. And basically that one would probably come from somebody you know, like a relative. Now, a lot of authors, they have their relatives or their friends or their acquaintances or whatever give them a review on Amazon or Barnes and Noble. And, you know, if you can get away with it, you can. But there's writers out there with their books on Amazon. They may not have family at all, so it's going to be tough for them. And there's outlets online that want you to pay them for a review. Yeah, I've run across some folks. I thought that was appalling. They want you to give them $100 for one measly review. Hey, if I'm going to give you $100, you're going to review every book I have, you know. So, but they're out there. I mean, they're charging for reviews. They have emailed me, Mr. Wilder. We see you have a few books online. Do you need a review? Of course, I need a review. All right, go to this website. I go to the website. I read it. It sounds good. It looks good. And then you read later on, $145 for one review. And I just click off of it and I just say, go straight to hell. But I was glad to get that 5-star review from a Facebook friend. And I think her name is Paula Wynn. And I want to thank her. You know, I want to thank her. All righty. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, 7:07 p.m. straight up Chicago time. Let's see what else we got to talk about here. All right. One of the 10 largest metro areas in the U.S. only Chicago loses residents. I've talked about that. Yeah, that Chicago is has lost a lot of people in the last 2 years that used to live here. And the state itself, we're not getting the best and the brightest anymore, because we got all these colleges and universities around town where outside people aren't coming to the state for a number of reasons: the budget, crime, the poor schools, schools that are not being funded, should be funded by the government, but they're not being funded. And Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, he is running again for governor. He's thinking about getting reelected. Please, you cannot get reelected. How can you think about being reelected when you haven't done your job? And we all know that. He's one of the things about Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, he's got a lot of opponents running against him. Whenever you're vulnerable and you think about running again, you're going to have 5 or 6, 7, 8 people running for your job, because they know that you are not liked. They know that you haven't done your job, and they know that your poll numbers are very, very low. So you're vulnerable. You could lose. Rauner is going to lose. There's no doubt about it. A lot of people, one of the reasons why he was voted in office in the first place, because a lot of people didn't vote. This is why, and another, on the other hand, this is why we have a Republican in the White House. This is why we have a Republican Congress, because a lot of people didn't vote, or a lot of people changed their votes. A lot of people were upset with Obama in 2016, and they changed their vote, and they voted Republican. And Obama knows this. He couldn't hang on to these votes. They were upset with Obama for this or that. There are people who voted for Obama twice, voted for him twice. And then the third time, they voted for Donald Trump, because Hillary Clinton would have been an Obama third term. There was no doubt about it. Even Hillary Clinton said that. Obama said it. She would be his third term, because if Hillary Clinton had won the White House like she was supposed to, we wouldn't be talking about health care. We wouldn't be talking about slashing things in the budget, things that are important for this country to keep on being America. But we've got Donald Trump, so we have to deal with it. But he's under investigation. Many investigations allowed to pass or try to pass anything whatsoever. He's under investigation, FBI investigations, all over the place. Yet he's get to try to pass a budget. And he's trying to seat someone on the Supreme Court. He should not have this power. He should not have this privilege. But the only reason why this is going on, because the Republicans control everything, and this is what they want. They're aiding and abetting. Wow, I said it correctly that time. They're aiding and abetting this guy. And all the Democrats can do is shout. But I think their voices are being heard. You know, I mean, because as I've said, this has been the vote on health care was delayed. So the voices were heard. The voices were heard. These guys, some of these Republicans are listening to their constituency. A lot of them are not. And they're going to get their asses handed to them in the midterms, 2018 midterms. And that's a promise. I mean, I know that's going to happen, because a lot of the Republicans who voted for Trump, they are going to suffer under this bill. They are going to suffer under this health care bill. They're going to suffer under the budget that this guy is slashing with an axe. They are going to suffer on this.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And happy St. Patrick's Day. Is it there?
All right. Well, it's not St. Patrick's Day.
That's for sure. Did you already drink yourself sick? So unnecessary now that we have a president who makes you want to puke all the time. Yeah, well.
The White House celebrated St. Patrick's Day by slashing green energy and everything else that's good in the budget. Did you see the budget? Oh, yes. It takes all the, they put out their new budget, the Trump budget. Takes away all the money from scientists and teachers and human rights workers and Meals on Wheels and Muppets. And gives it to the people who really need it, the defense contractors. If only there was a way to get the F-35 to run on coal, it would be a perfect budget. Yeah, because coal... Oh, hey, we're going to put the coal miners back to work. That's what... What the fuck is... No, that's what he goes around the country saying every day. We're going to put the coal miners... That's what passes for good news in this administration. You're going back down in that toxic hole. And as they're lowering them in. And then we're going to take away your health care. Yeah, this week. Well, this week we finally found out what Trump care is. You know, the whole campaign, he was something terrific. Remember, I'm going to replace it with something terrific. There's so many quotes of him saying it's going to, everyone's going to be covered. Everybody, it's going to cost you a fraction of what the old one, and better coverage. Wow, that is quite a deal. Everybody, fraction, better coverage. People are going to want to get sick. This plan is so good. You are going to wish you had a tumor just so you could go to the hospital under my plan. Now we see what the plan is. Surprise, 24 million people lose health coverage and the rich get a giant tax cut. This is the new place we're living in America. Meals on Wheels, the new budget director said, not showing any results. You mean other than not killing cripples and veterans and older people? Old people, you know, 3,200 jobs at the EPA are going to be cut under this new budget. Remember during the campaign, Trump was always saying, what do you have to lose? This stuff. Life as we know it. The budget director also said about the new budget that the after-school meals program, gone. You know, I've always said this. You want Republicans to care about kids, you're going to just have to jam them back in the uterus.
I'm here today to talk about a disturbing question, which has an equally disturbing answer. My topic is the secrets of domestic violence. And the question I'm going to tackle is the one question everyone always asks. Why does she stay? Why would anyone stay with a man who beats her? I'm not a psychiatrist, a social worker, or an expert in domestic violence. I'm just one woman with a story to tell. I was 22. I had just graduated from Harvard College. I'd moved to New York City for my first job as a writer and editor at 17 Magazine. I had my first apartment, my first little green American Express card, and I had a very big secret. My secret was that I had this gun loaded with hollow point bullets pointed at my head by the man who I thought was my soulmate many, many times. The man who I loved more than anybody on earth held a gun to my head and threatened to kill me more times than I can even remember. I'm here to tell you the story of crazy love, a psychological trap disguised as love, one that millions of women and even a few men fall into every year. It may even be your story. I don't look like a typical domestic violence survivor. I have a BA in English from Harvard College, an MBA in marketing from Wharton Business School. I spent most of my career working for Fortune 500 companies, including Johnson & Johnson, Leo Burnett, and The Washington Post. I've been married for almost 20 years to my second husband, and we have three kids together. My dog is a black lab, and I drive a Honda Odyssey minivan. So my first message for you is that domestic violence happens to everyone. All races, all religions, all income and education levels. It's everywhere. And my second message is that everyone thinks domestic violence happens to women, that it's a women's issue. Not exactly. Over 85% of abusers are men. And domestic abuse happens only in intimate, interdependent, long-term relationships. In other words, in families. The last place we would want or expect to find violence, which is one reason domestic abuse is so confusing. I would have told you myself that I was the last person on earth who would stay with a man who beats me. But in fact, I was a very typical victim because of my age. I was 22. And in the United States, women ages 16 to 24 are three times as likely to be domestic violence victims as women of other ages. And over 500 women and girls this age are killed every year by abusive partners, boyfriends and husbands in the United States. I was also a very typical victim because I knew nothing about domestic violence, its warning signs or its patterns. I met Connor on a cold, rainy January night. He sat next to me on the New York City subway, and he started chatting me up. He told me two things. One was that he, too, had just graduated from an Ivy League school, and that he worked at a very impressive Wall Street bank. But what made the biggest impression on me that first meeting was that he was smart and funny, and he looked like a farm boy. He had these big cheeks, these big apple cheeks, and this wheat blonde hair, and he seemed so sweet. One of the smartest things Connor did from the very beginning was to create the illusion that I was the dominant partner in the relationship. He did this, especially at the beginning, by idolizing me. We started dating, and he loved everything about me, that I was smart, that I'd gone to Harvard, that I was passionate about helping teenage girls and my job. He wanted to know everything about my family and my childhood, my hopes and dreams. Connor believed in me as a writer and a woman in a way that no one else ever had. And he also created a magical atmosphere of trust between us by confessing his secret, which was that as a very young boy, starting at age 4, he had been savagely and repeatedly physically abused by his stepfather. And the abuse had gotten so bad that he had had to drop out of school in 8th grade, even though he was very smart. And he'd spent almost 20 years rebuilding his life, which is why that Ivy League degree and the Wall Street job and his bright, shiny future meant so much to him. If you had told me that this smart, funny, sensitive man who adored me would one day dictate whether or not I wore makeup, how short my skirts were, where I lived, what jobs I took, who my friends were, and where I spent Christmas, I would have laughed at you. Because there was not a hint of violence or control or anger in Connor at the beginning. I didn't know that the first stage in any domestic violence relationship is to seduce and charm the victim. I also didn't know that the second step is to isolate the victim. Now, Connor did not come home one day and announce, you know, hey, all this Romeo and Juliet stuff has been great, but I need to move into the next phase where I isolate you and I abuse you. So I need to get you out of this apartment where the neighbors can hear you scream and out of this city where you have friends and family and coworkers who can see the bruises. Instead, Connor came home one Friday evening and he told me that he had quit his job that day, his dream job. And he said that he had quit his job because of me, because I had made him feel so safe and loved that he didn't need to prove himself on Wall Street anymore. And he just wanted to get out of the city and away from his abusive, dysfunctional family and move to a tiny town in New England where he could start his life over with me by his side. Now, the last thing I wanted to do was leave New York and my dream job. But I thought you made sacrifices for your soulmate. So I agreed, and I quit my job, and Connor and I left Manhattan together. I had no idea I was falling into crazy love, that I was walking headfirst into a carefully laid physical, financial, and psychological trap. The next step in the domestic violence pattern is to introduce the threat of violence and see how she reacts. And here's where those guns come in. As soon as we moved to New England, you know that place where Connor was supposed to feel so safe? He bought 3 guns. He kept one in the glove compartment of our car. He kept one under the pillows on our bed. And the third one he kept in his pocket at all times. And he said that he needed those guns because of the trauma he'd experienced as a young boy. He needed them to feel protected. But those guns were really a message for me. And even though he hadn't raised a hand to me, my life was already in grave danger every minute of every day. Connor first physically attacked me 5 days before our wedding. It was 7 a.m. I still had on my nightgown. I was working on my computer trying to finish a freelance writing assignment, and I got frustrated. And Connor used my anger as an excuse to put both of his hands around my neck and to squeeze so tightly that I could not breathe or scream. And he used the chokehold to hit my head repeatedly against the wall. 5 days later, the 10 bruises on my neck had just faded, and I put on my mother's wedding dress, and I married him. Despite what had happened, I was sure we were going to live happily ever after, because I loved him, and he loved me so much. And he was very, very sorry. He had just been really stressed out by the wedding and by becoming a family with me. It was an isolated incident, and he was never going to hurt me again. It happened twice more on the honeymoon. The first time, I was driving to find a secret beach, and I got lost. And he punched me in the side of my head so hard that the other side of my head repeatedly hit the driver's side window. And then a few days later, driving home from our honeymoon, he got frustrated by traffic, and he threw a cold Big Mac in my face. Connor proceeded to beat me once or twice a week for the next 2.5 years of our marriage. I was mistaken in thinking that I was unique and alone in this situation. 1 in 3 American women experiences domestic violence or stalking at some point in her life. And the CDC reports that 15 million children are...
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was on domestic violence, and I hope you enjoyed that. We're going to play that in its entirety starting on the 27th. Yeah, we're going to be off for 2 or 3 days to do some writing, but we will be back on Monday. As always, this show is on Monday through Friday. Monday through Thursday, starting at 6 p.m., to 7:30 p.m., an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, depends on what's going on the show. But anyway, we're just about off the air, folks. Thanks for being with me. And I want to say again, be nice to one another out there. That it is so easy to be nice, be kind, help someone in need, and it will make you feel great. And always drink water, exercise, you'll live longer. All right.
Bombs begin to fall. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a crawl. Heaven help
All right, everybody, the George Wilder Jr. Show has come to an end. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining in. Thanks for podcasting. Thanks for hosting. We will see you on Monday. Have a good one. Have a great one. Bye-bye, everybody.
Now lay me down before I go to sleep. In a troubled world, I pray the Lord to keep. Keep hatred from the mighty and the mighty from the small.